Blog Talk Radio.
Looking forward to a really good program today. Hello, or tonight, I should say. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of Christian Talk with TNT, T. Myra, and Tasila. Hi, Tasila. How are you today?
Hello, and welcome. I want to say hi to all our friends and family from all over the world. God bless you. I'm so excited about tonight's show. I can't wait to get started, and we have a special guest that, and I just can't wait and see what the Lord is going to do, how it's going to move with us today.
So. Oh yeah, and I'm sure, and I believe, and I'm sure the Spirit is going to move tonight. Okay, so all of you, I would like for you all to pick up your phones and grab your computers and go to your inbox or text your family and friends and encourage them to dial in right now. And here's the number you can tell them to dial. They can dial 646-668-8537. Once again, that's 646-668-8537. And, or if they don't want to dial in, they can listen to us from their computer. So wherever they see the post of this particular show on Facebook, Instagram, Alignable, or Twitter, if they see the post of this particular show, just go ahead and click on the link or just click on the picture, whichever one you can get through with, the link or the picture, and listen to it. Now on Facebook, you can click, if you see it anytime on Facebook, you can click on the picture on Facebook and listen to the program all week and all next week if you want to, wherever you see the post of this particular show, okay? Also, keep in mind that we are on hsbn.tv. Our show is called The Message of Life on hsbn.tv. You can catch us on YouTube and live on Facebook also. So tune in. You'll be blessed. We're also on other social media, TV shows, apps and so forth, platforms and all of that throughout the week. So, you know, I can name a few of them. You can catch us on demand, on Roku, on iHeartRadio, and many more. Okay, just type in The Message of Life with T. Meyer and Tusila McCain, and you can't miss it. You can't miss us. We'll be right there. Mm-hmm. Also, I would like to invite every one of you. I'm talking about all of you. I want to invite all of you to come and worship with us on Church of Jesus Christ Ministry, and we are located in Upland, California, and we would like for you guys to come on and worship with us. So, I'm sorry, that's the time is 1:30. Oh, yeah, 869 North Euclid Avenue, and our services start at 1:30 in the afternoon every Sunday. So once again, that's 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, and that's our services start at 1:30 p.m. in the afternoon. Right, you can sleep in every Sunday, okay? So we're right there. Come and worship with us. You will be blessed. I'm going to tell you that now. The Holy Spirit is right there, and you will be blessed. So come and worship with us, okay? Okay. Hey, listen, don't go away. We're going to be right back after this. Stay right there.
A love so perfect. Well, let me introduce you to a perfect kind of love. Would you like to know His love is perfect? Well, let me introduce you to a perfect kind of love.
That's love so
'cause He knows what I feel inside.
He touches places
I try so hard to hide.
Those broken spaces
that once made up my life.
Love lifts the darkness
with His overwhelming light. Perfect love. Perfect love, perfect love, perfect love. God is, He is perfect love.
Would you like to know a love so perfect?
Well, let me introduce you to a perfect kind of love.
Would you like to know His love is perfect?
Well, let me introduce you to a perfect kind of love.
His love is so perfect,
'cause He gave and restored my life.
In a single moment
He won my battle and my fight.
Those fallen moments
when I thought I would not survive,
His love protects me,
failing at no time.
Perfect love.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
Pastor Tasila, wait, hold on. What is this? Do you hear that? Wait. TNT moment, and I just want to ask you, Pastor Tasila, what do we have for today on our TNT moment?
Well, we have what is your favorite scripture and why? And that is a doozy, even though
yeah.
I truly love the Word of God in its entirety, I do. And it really does hold many jewels, and it is our road map back. And to, you know, us getting back to home. Remember that time I was asleep and you heard me singing? You said I was singing in my sleep. And I was saying,
yeah,
I want to go back home.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know I was singing. You said I was singing.
Right in my ear. Loud.
And sleep. That was funny.
Yeah.
Well, I was singing, I want to go back home. Back home.
Yeah.
But,
mm-hmm.
I guess it was my spirit man singing. But the Bible is the map to life. And one of my favorite scriptures is John 17. And it was this prayer that was prayed before Jesus' betrayal and crucifixion. And it is so powerful, and especially to me, a prayer that he prayed to the Father for himself and for us. And it goes like this. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he may give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. So we see Jesus wasn't just a baby born in a manger. He was a God from the beginning. And he was the Word that spoke the worlds into existence. Yet he humbled himself, left his royal position, and subjected himself to this dark realm of chaos for you and me. And he goes on to say, I have revealed you to those whom you gave to me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you gave, given me comes from you. He's saying, so don't you just wish sometimes and wonder why the church can't see that all the gifts come from the Father of lights from above? And why do man take all the glory when even Jesus didn't take the glory? Jesus said that they knew with certainty that I came from you and all the things that I was doing was from you. And they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, meaning the name that you gave me, Jesus. so that they may be one, is the most powerful part of this, so that they may be one as we are one. And if you go on to John 17:21, this is truly the reason I love the scripture, because it shows the plan that God has for those that really love him, that all of them may be one, Father. This is Jesus still praying, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. My goodness, that's powerful to me. And this particular language, and this particular language would have been regular Bible reading for me, and it never stood out until one night I had a vision in the night. And in this season, I was asking the Lord, I was saying, Lord, what is the outpouring really? Is there going to be a outpouring? And if so, what would that look like in this 20th century? You know, because we could see back in, you know, Bethlehem and where everything was slow and dusty. But now we got all this, you know, new everything.
Technology.
I'm like, so what does that look like?
Yeah.
Just everything is different, even cars and noise and sounds that we didn't even have back then. I said, how would this happen in this age? And what he showed me was so phenomenal. He showed himself in complete oneness with me. And the only way I can explain this is that it was as if he had stepped inside of me. We were both lit up with a brightest light that I couldn't even comprehend. I never seen before. And he was about 3 feet taller than me, but we were one. And I was in him, and he was in me, while he was doing the works, the greater works that everybody's waiting on. And as he would perform a miracle, he would explain to me how easy it was because of who he was. So nothing is going to stop him from doing what he's going to be doing. As to say, yes, the power and the anointing is coming, but that, like this, me, I'm going to be doing it through people.
Right.
That's the most interesting part. Then from a distance, I noticed something that was happening. I said, uh-oh, I saw you do all these things, and I kind of understand that, but from a distance, I noticed a girl whom had committed suicide, and she was already dead. And I said something like, uh-oh, this is a done deal. And he said, watch. And he began to take the rope from her neck. And by the time he finished untying it, she was alive again. So when I read John 17 and hear Jesus' prayer, it brings me back to the vision I had of us being one and doing a greater works on earth. Because that's the prayer, that they may be one. As you see, everything Jesus did, the Father was in him doing it. And he let everybody know the whole time that it was the Father, that it wasn't him. And I'm not the only one that's waiting for this outpouring. It says in the word that the whole creation is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. Remember, Jesus prayed that we would come into the full unity of the full stature of Christ with him. So by any chance, if my testimony, if anybody, you know, feel the call on their life or God has dealt with them about something of this nature, I hope this testimony would bless you and give you hope that it's real. Because I know it's some things God showed me, and now I'm starting to see it. People are speaking on it and talking about it. But when things was happening to me, people was calling me names. But now it's like become common, you know. And then people are writing books about it. But I just want to bring out some more, just two more things. The Lord showed me in the end times, he showed me money. He showed me, I don't know if you guys have noticed, that all the money used to be green, and that was it, with writing on it. And now, in a vision, he showed me the money would turn to pastel colors. And if you look at the money, you'll see there's a hint of yellow on it, a hint of pink, a hint of lime, and all those colors. But he showed me that before the money came out. And I was like, how could the money be colors, different colors? But it is. And then the other thing the Lord showed me, that when this outpouring would come, that the technology would have changed so much that when you walk into someone's home and the phone would ring, you would see them on the big screen or on their TV, whatever television or screens that they had in their home. It was common. The phone would ring and people would push something and people's faces would come up on the television. And I knew that for a long time that that would happen. And I couldn't wait for it to happen, to start happening, because then I knew it was time for the outpouring. And I'm going to give this to Pastor T. Amen.
Wow. Yeah, man, you make me wish that I had picked the scripture you picked. But, you know, that's a hard question. You know, what is your favorite scripture and why? And, you know, I don't have one favorite scripture. I have many, you know, because, well, as a matter of fact, all the scriptures are my favorite, you know, because just like you said earlier, you love the Word of God. So all the scriptures are favorite. But for this broadcast, I will choose one, and that's Acts chapter 2, verses 37 and 38. It says, now when they heard this, when they heard Peter preaching, they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, this is what Peter said to them. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peter called the Holy Spirit a gift. He called the Holy Spirit a gift. The Holy Spirit is the gift of God who brings forth gifts. The gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit he brings to us. Peter said that they must repent and be baptized and receive the Holy Spirit. Nothing has changed since the day Peter said those words. All America must repent and be baptized and receive the Holy Spirit, and if all America must repent, then that means that all the world must repent and be baptized and receive the Holy Spirit. Repentance should be a continual thing in our lives as Christians. It should be continual because we're not exactly perfect yet. So we will make mistakes. But, you know, the more you walk with the Lord, the very few mistakes you make. But just in case you do, be ready to repent. Did you know that some people have been baptized, but they still have not received the Holy Spirit? Please, this is what I say to you, Christians. If you've been baptized, you've received the Lord in your heart, open your heart to receive his Spirit. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord, which is the Holy Spirit. He's looking for willing hearts. We must be filled by that Holy Spirit of promise. We all must go through the three processes of the new birth. Yes, there's three processes of the new birth, which are being born of water and spirit and incorruptible seed. We can't enter into God's kingdom realm unless we have accomplished these requirements. But repentance comes first. We must change our ungodly lifestyles and turn to the living God. All of this is still needed today. This is needed today in this hour, just as much and probably even more so right now in this hour than ever before. We cannot go on as a nation unless we obey what Peter said. We cannot go on as a people unless we do what Peter said. And this world cannot continue to exist unless we do what Peter said. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and then receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We must receive the Holy Spirit. So have faith in God and know that if we open up our hearts to receive him, he will come. The Holy Spirit will come, and he will fall upon you and fill you up. The 120 in the upper room had they had to open their hearts in order to receive the Holy Spirit. They expected him to come, and he did. He came. They were open to receive him, and when they did receive him, they brought forth thousands into the church and into God's kingdom realm daily. This scripture is very simple. What Peter said is very, very simple, but it's still very, very important. This scripture is the answer to the ills of the world today. After the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he gave us all Christians. He gave us all this commandment in Matthew 28, verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age, to the end of this age, which begins the new age. It begins the age that is to come, God's age. You notice that Jesus said, baptize in the name of, he said, baptize in the name, singular, of, not in the names of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He said in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because they are one, because he is one. Nothing has changed. We are still commissioned to do this. You hear me, Christians? From the least to whom you may consider the greatest Christian of all, we are still commissioned to baptize. We are still commissioned to preach the word of God, to go out into all the world, heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out demons. Amen and amen. Yes, indeed. Listen, don't go away. We'll be right back with our guests right after this. Praise the Lord.
Always living victory.
Christian Talk with T. Meyer and Tasila. And also, we have our special guest. And our special guest today is Dr. Daryl Jordan. Now, let me tell you a little bit about him first. Dr. Jordan is the founder of Jordan's Life Ministry, Jordan's Life Lines Ministry. He is a native of New Orleans. Oh, I'm sorry, I said that wrong. He is a native of New Orleans. That's how they say it, really. It's New Orleans. Okay. And he is the son of Gloria and Clarence Jordan. He's the second youngest of nine children. Dr. Jordan has traveled around the country preaching and teaching the gospel in an unorthodox way like only the Holy Spirit can. See, I love that. You know, that's somebody really being led by the Spirit. He has been a blessing to many people and has walked a walk that has been admired, respected, and fruitful for the Lord. He is a real man of God and an ambassador for Christ Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome Dr. Daryl Jordan.
Yay!
Hear the crowd.
Hey.
Yay, yay,
yay. How are you,
doing,
Doctor?
Y'all doing pretty good?
Amen. Yes, we are. And we're very happy to have you on the show tonight on our program.
Thank you
Praise
for having
the Lord.
Me. First, I would love to say, you know, when you guys talk about the Holy Spirit and being the Trinity and all, it's amazing how you and the wife is in the same place, but yet it's like I see y'all in two different places, different places around the country at the same time. It's a great example of what she was explaining of how God showed her, you know, just being inside, but yet being the very thing that he's inside of.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, being the vehicle, but yet also being inside the vehicle. And I just love the way you all operate as one. It really gives me something to look forward to, you know, and,
praise the Lord.
You know, just grateful to God that you guys walk the way you do in such, such an agreement. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Thank
praise
you.
The Lord. Yes.
Yeah.
Thank
yes,
you.
Yes. Amen. Such
well,
a
we
spirit
have
of humility.
I guess that's why we're in agreement. We have one goal, to enter into the kingdom.
And
it shows
that you all, you know, are truly sold out for the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
If I may, one of the things the Lord laid on my heart is what he's doing with the body of Christ in this season is maturing. The body of Christ is very immature. And one of the things he said to me, he's maturing, which means fully developing. Okay. So that the quality of the believer, and quality is a distinctive characteristic. So the more I mature in God, the more my godly characteristics, as a woman of God was reading the scripture, it said, Father, glorify me, so in return I may glorify you. In other words, put your glory on me, so when people see me, they see you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
When they see me, they'll see you. You know, the world has taken a lot of scripture, and they're using them for themselves. There's something that they say now is, when you see him, you see me. When you see me, you see him. And that's all Jesus was saying. Father, glorify me, so in return I may glorify you. Place your glory upon me. Let the kavod, let your glory rest down upon me.
Mm-hmm.
And see, when his glory rests down upon us, then we can operate maturely, in a mature way through the leading of the Holy Spirit. Now we fully develop. And when we fully develop, when I allow the Holy Spirit to rest, to sit on me, and my quality of life change, everything about me changes. And one of the things the Lord is doing tonight is destroying the yoke of anxiety. Because the body of Christ is going through this thing, they're suffering and they're dealing with anxiety and fear and doubt and unbelief, because we have been through so much, and not just the body, but the world, you know.
Yeah.
And God is bringing healing to the body of Christ, you know, delivering us from the anxiety. And so when we are fully developed, when we mature and we become fully developed, the quality, we become very distinct. He told Abram, he said, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, for your own advantage, and I'm going to make your life distinct. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make your life very distinct. So when people see you, they're going to know, you know what, it's more to you than just you. Your life is very distinct. You got a different character. There's a character about you that don't just, that you can't go down and get it at the barbershop or the beauty salon. This is something that the glory of God, only the glory of God, you know, can place upon you. And when that happens, then my quality of life changes.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And what I mean by that, now, you know, your financial state change, which is very important. You know, your health changes. Now, you know, you step into eternal healing, eternal wealth, success.
Mm-hmm.
We get longevity on our marriages. We get longevity on our lives, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We live happily. The whole quality of your life begins to change. Now we can really do the work of the Lord financially, you know.
And the favor comes on your life also.
The favor of God, yes. And, mm-hmm. and you know, and one of the things we have to know is that when the favor of God comes, it comes in an unfavorable way. So that, you know, when you're being cheated out of something, or you're just being mishandled with some things, it's like I had a situation today. I was all set up to do what I needed to do, and things shift. And they thought I would be upset, and I said to myself, "No, this, you know, this ain't unfair. You're not treating me unfair. Favor is showing itself. You know, this is just how favor always show up when I look like I'm in an unfair situation. You know, and the only time I don't see the favor is when I start complaining about it. You know, when I complain about my situation. So I always have to remind myself of my position. That as a child of God, I can never be in an unfavorable situation. Even when it's unfavorable, I get favor in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get favor in it. I was going to go to 1 Peter 5 and 7. And I was going to go, and I know y'all are familiar with Marvin Gaye when he sang You Got to Give It Up.
Right.
And you know, Jesus was struggling in the garden, even though he was our Lord and Savior. He was struggling in the garden because he didn't want to give it up.
Right.
And the Word of God says, in order to live the higher life, you have to give up the lower life.
Mm-hmm.
And it was when he said, Father, if thou be willing, let this bitter cup pass. So he didn't want to drink from the cup now, But then as time, as moments went on and he began to become, you know, dealing with anxiety, and I believe that's where, you know, he had to suffer these things. You know, he wasn't an adulterer, but he became adultery so that he can mm-hmm. free people. He can free all the adulterers. You know, the Bible say he knew no sin, but yet he became. So I think he began to go through anxiety and all this other kind of stuff because now he's flesh.
And right. Right. Now and he and even to the point of sweating blood.
Come on,
my God.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. To the point where he's sweating blood.
Anxiety. Right.
Yeah. And that's what, you know, I was listening to something the other day, and they said at one of the universities they were doing a study, and they had different types of sweat. We sweat different types of sweat. And they were saying there is a point where when you really get in a place of anxiety and just worry, you can sweat blood. You know,
right.
So he
right.
was having
that's
an
true.
Anxious moment. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was having one of those moments. And so he was saying, he said, you know, Father, if thou be willing, let this bitter cup pass. But
mm-hmm.
then he realized this ain't worth it. This ain't the way they're supposed to go.
Right.
And you know, well, I'm going to go to 1 Peter and 5. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. It say, cast all your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries. And I was sharing with some folks earlier, that word worry comes from an old American word, Wygan, I think it's called, W-Y-R-G-A-N. And it's called, it said, it means strangle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that word means strangle.
Mm-hmm.
So he's saying, cast all your cares, all your anxiety. Care means anxiety. That's all care is. Care is anxiety.
Yeah.
So it's like the Lord has told us a couple of weeks, you know, when you care about your family, you putting yourself in a place of anxiety. You say, love them, but I'm going to care for them. And you say, well, that's kind of hard to do. How could you do that? One of the things I'm learning in this season, what God wants us to do is cast all our cares, cast all our worries, cast all our anxieties. Give me everything you got. Let me handle it. I don't want anything. I want a pure praise out of you. I want pure worship out of you. And I can't get it with you being concerned about your family. He says, so give me everything you got. So I could get a pure praise out of you. And that's what he had to tell Jesus, I believe, in the garden. You got to give it all to me. If you care for them, if you want them to have what you want them to have, then you got to give it up. You got to give up the ghost. You got to reduce yourself. You got to put yourself in a vulnerable state.
That's right.
You got to lose your life. You got to give your life up. You got to yield it up. You got to let me be. Not you don't want to be God in your life. He's our Father. He said, "Let me be your Father, and let my Son be Lord over your life. Give him full reign. When
yeah,
you make when you make him Lord,
itself.
You give him full reign. Yes."
Mm-hmm.
You give him full reign to do whatever he want to do.
Yeah. They don't teach that anymore. Die to self.
No. You know, and he's saying in this season, here's what I want you to do. I want you to give me full reign. I want you to be able to give me everything about your life. And here's the deal. He said, I ain't even worried about you believing me because I'm responsible for you believing. I'm the author and the finisher of your faith. But what I need from you is trust. Can you trust me? You believe me.
Yes.
But can you trust me?
Do you trust him?
Man, and woman of God, I got a brother I love. I don't trust him. Mm-hmm. I believe in him. Trust me with everything you got. Yeah. Another thing I learned is that, you know, I'm learning in this season. My problem is I don't understand how much he loved me. If I ever get the ups on how much God loved me, everything about my life will change. Not how much I love him.
That's true.
Because that can change at any given time. Let me ask him for something. He don't give it to me.
Yeah, I feel you. I went through that too. I want to know how much you love me. We read about it. We can feel it a little bit, but we don't really know how much he really loves us.
I was dealing with something a couple of weeks ago, and somebody said something to me. They said, you listening too much to the Holy Spirit and not enough to your body. And I believe this is where the body of Christ is. And, you know, when you don't understand something, the first thing you say is, you know what, I ain't listening to that because that ain't God. They say you're listening so much to the Holy Spirit that you ain't even listening to your body. I was burned out. The Holy Spirit is not subject to time. The
what?
Holy Spirit don't get tired. The Holy Spirit
what?
Never stops talking.
The what?
Holy Spirit is talking to you all the time. Your body is saying, you know what, I had enough. And you're still saying, well, no, see, God called me to do this. He told me to do that. And the Holy Spirit telling you stuff all day long, all night, all day. He never stopped talking. Half the stuff he's saying, he ain't even talking to you. He's just talking. He's putting stuff into the atmosphere. And our body is saying, I had enough. And we constantly going and I woke up one morning and I was tired, and I said, God, I'm tired, but I'm going to get up and I'm going to ride my bike and I'm going to go walking and do this and do that. He said, because you're not physically tired. You're mentally drained. He wants to change. He wants to mature us first. God has to mature us.
Mm-hmm.
Bring us to a place. He wants to fully develop us. He wants to make us so much like him, but people can't see the difference. He wants to glorify us, so in return, we will glorify him.
Amen.
And when people see the God in us, that's when you fully mature. You know, as I got older, they started saying, first they would say, you're starting to look like your dad. You're starting to look like your dad. When I got older, they say, wow, you look just like your dad, because I was fully matured.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I had distinctive qualities. You know, I had distinctive qualities about me. My character was different. Come on, my character stuck out from the rest of the family because I had more of my dad characteristics than everybody else in the family because I spent more time with him.
Right.
Come on, every time you look up, I was with him. So I started taking on his characteristics. And a little bit further, either in the next chapter or a little bit further up, it says, God has given us his divine nature. So I had challenged somebody and say, you could live, you could love unconditionally because you got God's divine nature, but do you want to?
Right. Mm-hmm. That part. It's a decision and a choice.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
And the quantity of your life change, which means not usually estimated. And I In other words, they can't estimate what you got, how much you got, how much you don't have. You just overflow.
Right, right.
It's just overflow. Walking in the fullness of God. Walking in the fullness of God. So I got another scripture, man of God. Can we go to Psalms 91?
Mm-hmm.
And I was listening to something, and I think the woman of God said it. You could be listening and watching something and knowing scripture, and it never really dawned on you until one day you see something and you'd be like, hey, who put that there? You know, like somebody just added
right.
that word, you know?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So,
yeah, that we were talking about that today, how someone said they read something 40 times, and then all of a sudden a revelation pops out.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
No, he read it 40 times. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Psalms 91, and I'm going to read it. I'm going to read from... I'm going to read from the King James. It says, Psalms 91 and 3. Surely he shall deliver us. He shall deliver thee from the snare, which is a trap of the fowler, and from the noisome pestilence. And pestilence is... fatal epidemic.
Mm-hmm.
But I had pulled something up when I looked that word up. It said, when I looked it up, it said a epidemic that not even prayer can handle. Which means God himself has to mm-hmm. handle it. And I believe when God say or do something like that, he letting you know, I still have to let you know, got to bring it back to your remembrance. You can't pray that well. You can't fast that good. I got to show you that I'm still God, and besides me, there is no other. Because you start bringing up mm-hmm. stuff, and you really think you can do all that.
Right.
The word that stuck out, the word that stuck out was follower, follow. I never seen that word before. Even though I read it, I never paid attention to it. I never thought about the meaning of it. And that's why I say God's bringing us to a place of being fully matured, that when we see words in the Bible, we look it up so that we'll know mm-hmm. what it means, and then we get free. And here's what a follower is. He's one who captures birds.
Mm-hmm.
And he stress them out, mm-hmm. and we had looked that word up, and they compared that word to the devil. How he says things, he stress you,
mm-hmm.
he stress you. And here's what I learned about stress: if you stress hard enough, it makes you start doing things out of character. It makes you drink. It makes you get into sinful acts and different things like that. It start pushing you into things. And when you leave the presence of God, you start stressing. You get caught up in the trap. And you get so far out till you think there's no way back. And there is. Because we have a Redeemer Kinsman.
Mm-hmm.
You know? We have a Redeemer Kinsman. And all we have to do is continue to rely on our Redeemer Kinsman. And I'm learning, man and woman of God, in this season, I'm learning how to really speak. in my life, God is no longer going to do anything from here on out. He has already done it. It's complete.
Yeah.
It's finished.
I understand. I understand.
It's complete. It's finished.
Walking in the authority that God has already given you.
Yes. Yes. And so with all that, and that goes back to when you start being fully developed, you get to that place where you're no longer whining about God when you're going to do it, Lord. Praying from a place of defeat. Or praying like your God hadn't answered it. Or like when Jesus said it's finished, like he finished the work. No, the work is finished. What he wants the believer to, the body of Christ to do now, is mature to the place that the work is finished. And once the body of Christ begin to speak all one language, speaking and moving as if it's already done, we're really going to see some things.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. You know something, Pastor, Dr. Jordan,
yes, sir.
We're running out of time now, and, man, this is getting good. We're definitely going to have to ask you to come back because we can see that you're full of the Spirit. You have a whole lot to share with us, and we would really like for you to share it. Yeah, mm-hmm. So we're going to have to ask you to come back so you can finish
of
this,
course.
And I'm hoping that you're available. Right now we're going to have to say bye to everybody. Thank you, Pat. Thank you, Dr. Jordan. And
thank you,
everybody, for tuning in. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.